Strangers and Aliens, Episode 48, Star Trek versus Star Wars, or The Great Bird versus The Great Beard. Brought to you by Audible.com. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, including many books set in the Star Wars and Star Trek universes. Get a free Star Wars or Star Trek book, or choose from many, many more by going to www.audibletrial.com/strangers. The book is yours to keep. You can cancel at any time, and thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there.
Strangers and aliens.
I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast. My name is Ben Avery. I'm one of your hosts, one of the Strangers and Aliens, and with me I have two more of the Strangers and Aliens. I have Dr. Jace O'Neill.
Hello.
And Steve McDonald.
Hi, everybody.
And we are here to finally, once and for all, solve the eternal geek question: which franchise is better, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, gosh. I thought for sure we were going to answer the question of why The Dark Knight was better than Dark Knight Rises.
Look, it's not, okay? And they both fail, and I'll give easy reasons.
Obviously, The Dark Knight is better than The Dark Knight Rises, but The Dark Knight Rises is a good ending to this.
So okay. The first thing we're going to talk about is...
Anyway. No, I just wanted to get my friend Steve the Big Mac upset and up in arms.
So,
yeah, and if you play the Strangers and Aliens drinking game, yes, you take a drink then.
But we don't encourage, drinking too much.
No, not.
And actually, if you
like
play that game, it would encourage a lot of drinking. So,
I've decided, Ben, I'm going to call you Captain Ben. I'm going to call. Steve, I'm going to call you Big Mac.
Okay.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't think I've ever eaten a Big Mac in my life.
And if we can get Shazbot, he can do a rap with Dr. Jace, Captain Ben, and Big Mac.
Well, we'll have to check with him and see how he feels about that.
I don't know.
Well, here's what we have, guys. I think we can all agree that there are two primary science fiction fantasy franchises out there.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah,
and Planet of the Apes.
35 years.
I think we can all agree that these are the big ones. These are the heavy hitters. These are the powerhouses. And how many times does the question come up? Which one's better? So we're going to answer it, settle it once and for all. This night, it's all happening right now, right here. We're taking it to the streets.
Dun, 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 dun.
My dun, ring's dun, outside. Dun. That's right. All right.
Excuse me, Steve. Mine sounded more cool. Yours sounded like a game show.
Yeah,
no, yours
like
sounded like
a
70s cop show, Steve.
We have to have a little scratchy guitar.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's just right before you know the car is going over the hill. It's jumping through the air. Freeze frame commercial. You get that.
Hey, dun, 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 and at least the cop is dressed like Han Solo would be dressed.
That's true.
We could
That's
hope.
That's true. So here's what we're going to do. We've put together some categories of some things where we are going to declare our favorite from one or the other universe. And whichever one gets our favorite, that one gets a vote. And so whichever one gets a vote for that category, with the most votes for that category, they win that category, and whoever wins the most categories, including a 16th category, which is Facebook fans. Fans, you may actually determine the vote, unless it's really heavily lopsided one way. But including Facebook fans, Shazbot is here to read your votes.
He will also be keeping score.
By the way, Shazbot, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we are going to then, through this, decide once and for all. And whatever we end up with, that is going to be the official Strangers and Aliens party line. How's that sound, guys? Are the stakes high enough?
It's super high. I'm like biting my fingernails off.
So, you guys ready?
Yep.
You're going to choose one universe or the other in your answer. You're choosing your favorite based on the category from both universes, and whichever universe has your favorite, they get the vote. So, we are going to start with
round one.
Best ship. Which of all the spaceships in Star Wars and Star Trek is your favorite? Who would like to go first?
I'm going to go last because you guys aren't going to guess this ship.
That's okay. Jace, you want to go now or you want me to go?
You go ahead.
Okay. Thought long and hard about this and then realized I didn't even need to think long and hard about this. I am going to go with the movie Enterprise.
I knew you were going to go there.
I love that ship. I just do. I mean, the Star Wars ships are cool. I had so many of the toys when I was a kid. I love the Snowspeeder, X-Wing, all those things. Millennium Falcon, awesome. But I have to go with movie Enterprise. That's a vote for Trek. What do you think, Dr. Jace?
Well, I guess it just depends because I originally had an original answer, but then I thought, well, if I had my own ship, what would it be? And so I've basically been going back and forth between, is it the one I think would last the most in a battle or the one I think would be really cool? And basically I've been deciding between Bubba Fett's really cool little
slave one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Next Generation Enterprise.
And went with?
I'm going to go with the Enterprise. I just have to.
All right.
It is the ship that I've spent most time with. It's the ship that I know the most. I felt like if I was on the ship now, I could live life because I would know where everything was. Plus
it's comfortable, you know, man. It's like a living room.
I could order anything I wanted and make it for me, like, right then.
But how cool is Slave One?
It is an awesome ship.
How many people name their ship, their first ship, One? It's not the Millennium Falcon, One.
Yeah, I got a question about that too, though, because the Slave One in the prequel trilogy and the Slave One in the original trilogy, they look kind of different. And I'm wondering, shouldn't the original trilogy maybe that be Slave Two? Because in the Clone Wars TV series, it actually crashed and seemed to be destroyed.
Maybe that was Slave Zero.
So,
maybe just like its owner, it's a clone, and therefore it just keeps the same name.
Yes,
different
reflecting his heritage in the name of the ship.
Exactly.
Actually, the whole idea of being a slave and those clones, there's not anything there necessarily, but there could be. Steve, what are you going to go with, man?
You know, I went with something that probably no one else would say, and I'll say it and then I'll explain it a little bit. The Borg ship.
Interesting.
Because it is, there's so many aspects to it. I mean, it's just a big cube through space, but it's like a cube Death Star.
Wait a minute, there's spherical ships too.
Yes, the cool thing about the Borg ships is that they don't have to worry about being aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Every ship in both of these universes feel really aerodynamic, then they don't really necessarily need to be. But the Borg ships, they're just really functional.
Yeah.
They're squares.
Cubes. They're cubes.
The Borg's real squares, man.
Yeah.
Total
but it's
square.
Just it's threatening. It's frightening when you see it on the screen. It just, you know, they're trying to shoot it and it keeps changing its wavelengths to counter them and everything. I mean, it would be interesting to see the Death Star against the Borg ship.
That's a cool choice, Steve. I would have never gone with that. You're right.
I'm surprised nobody went with the Death Star myself, but you're right.
I don't think of. I mean, that's not a ship to me, though.
That's a planet. Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge space station. Yeah. It can apparently move faster than light, but
it does move. Yeah,
it moves. So officially, it could have counted. And you know, now I'm kind of thinking my way through it. Although, even still, inside, the Enterprise is way nicer.
Absolutely. I mean, even the places where you're supposed to be working, they're like a luxury lounge.
Yeah, it's like a recliner. You have a Lazy Boy.
Yeah.
The Death Star looks like a prison.
Yeah.
Even in the places where it's not a prison.
It's like a hospital meets a prison. Anyway.
You have to march through it. You can't just walk through it. You have to march.
Point. Star Trek. Score. Trek. 1. Wars. 0. Round 2.
Next category. And this is kind of... this is kind of clumping. We're not necessarily taking one person and choosing one.
Are you skipping the first question you were going to ask that's in the list?
What was the first question I was going to ask?
Oh, I see epic battle. I thought you were going to ask us the best battle.
Actually, that's a great question. Should we add that in?
Yeah, because that's what I thought it was. I thought that...
No, this is the epic battle. This is the epic battle.
I thought the question was, what is has the best battle of all... the franchises.
Okay. You want to add that in? We can add that in. Let's do it. Epic battle. Which franchise has the best battle?
I can go there, so I'll buy you guys some time. I know instantly what is the best battle.
I do too, but go ahead.
It is the battle between the Enterprise, Next Generation, and the Borg. It was a nice segue with Steve. At the end of season 3, when Jean-Luc Picard is assimilated... and he knows exactly what Riker will do. And then there's this big cliffhanger. And then you come up to the battle in the first episode of the 4th season. And that whole battle is the best, in my mind, the best epic battle of all the series. Because it has everything. It has absolutely everything.
I like that too. That's not what I would have gone with, but that's a vote for Trek. And did you know you'll be able to see that on the big screen in April, I think?
Yeah, I heard that.
I am planning to go. And my friend Bill, I think, is going to go with me. That'd be cool. Okay,
Bill doesn't sound like a real person. Bill sounds like a name you made up. Basically,
George.
Is Bill and Shazbot your only friends, Ben? Do you need a hug?
Yeah, over Skype. It just doesn't work. This is my problem. I have to resort to a programmed robot and Bill, who sounds fake. He's not fake. He's one of my best friends from, like, way, way back. From 1988.
In fact, Bill, he's sitting right next to me. Say hi, Bill.
Hello!
Bill and Ben. Sounds like a sitcom.
Yeah. That'd be a fun sitcom. Okay, so
He's Benny.
Favorite battle... the most epic battle, I would almost go with the first episode of Deep Space Nine, which actually is part of your battle.
Yeah.
It's not when the Enterprise was there, but I am actually going to go with the end of Deep Space Nine with the Dominion War. There was some awesome, epic battling going on there. I really, really liked that.
I would have agreed with you, except I think they should have told the story differently, because I don't think that those episodes really lived up to the buildup that they were doing. It was kind of disappointing. I would have gone with you on the Deep Space Nine, but then again, I would have claimed that battle as part of mine anyways.
You mean the first episode of Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, because it was part of the same battle. So
yeah, only they had a budget and they could actually show lots of ships instead of just the three little tiny shuttlecraft that like zip in front of the Borg cube, and it's like, get out of here, and he just backhands them with a laser and they're done. That's all. That's the battle. Those three ships are all that stood between Borg and Earth as far as what we saw of the actual battle on screen.
Yeah.
Steve?
I would say, just trying to think back of the ones that I thought were like the most stunning, the ones that like caught me and said, whoa, I think the one that did that the most is, the beginning of, Revenge of the Sith, when the title scrolls up and all that stuff, and it pans down and all of a sudden you're in the middle of this huge battle.
Yes, and it's just a good one.
Everything.
Hey, Jace.
Yeah.
Is this all space battles? Is that what you're intending? Can I change my vote?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead. I just thought I'm going to change my vote.
I'm going to change mine too. It's going to be when Chewbacca and R2-D2 were playing holographic chess.
Actually, how did you know?
Steve, you were right. The opening of Revenge of the Sith is one of the most visually stunning openings I've ever seen. Yeah. It just draws you right in.
It just throws you right in. I mean, you're just forced into it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
As far as like what really was awe-inspiring for me, honestly, thinking back on it, I'm going to go with Luke and Darth in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Hoth.
No, although that is another.
All right.
So that's one. So that category goes to Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely goes to Star Wars. And Ben, even though you cheated, you went with like,
I didn't,
you switched.
I didn't cheat. I changed my vote.
Yeah.
And I asked permission. So
you did. I allow it since I gave two kind of ships, even though I didn't take them.
Point. Star Wars. Score. Trek 1. Wars 1. Round 3.
All right. So this next one, we are making a larger judgment and not just choosing one. This
is how come we don't have best villain on the list?
Because that's pretty. Wouldn't that be a pretty much straight win on that?
I don't know. Because I know what mine would be.
I know what mine would be.
Well, let's put it in. Best villain.
Want to do it now or later?
Let's just do it now. Best villain, okay. Steve.
Q.
Go first. Q?
Yep.
Okay.
Just having that, from the beginning to the end of the series, it's Q, it's Q, it's Q. It's just like, even when he's not there, you're like, wait a minute, is Q going to show up? You know, it's just it's the wrench in the monkey works. It's you never know what's going to happen.
And it's Q's fault that the Borg have humanity and the Federation on their radar.
Yeah, yeah. Q's good, and you even learn more about him later on when you see him in other of the Star Trek series. I'm gonna have to go with the Borg. I would very easily like to go with Darth Vader, but the Borg. Man, just when I think about that type of life, I'd have to go with the Borg.
Yeah, with Darth Vader, actually, Darth Vader, he almost is a Borg, but because he's robotic and answers to...
Is he your choice?
No, he's not a choice. He's not my choice. He's a good character, a good villain character, but he's not a very good villain. You know, in the first Star Wars, he's acceptable, but if you look at what he actually does in that movie... He kills an old man, his ship gets blasted, and he gets thrown out of a battle, out of the space station that, you know, he's supposed to be not in charge of, but like second in command there, I guess. And, yeah, he's a good character and a good villain to have.
For years, Darth Vader has topped the list of greatest villains of all time.
And it's understandable that he would. Yeah. I do understand. But my first gut reaction was going to say Khan. Because I really like Star Trek 2, but I don't know if Khan is the best. I don't know where I would go with this.
Khan's a really good one, except he just doesn't have the staying power or the massive omnipresence of Q.
If I'll be honest, Ben, if we had a category of the most overrated character or movie, I would go with Khan and the Wrath of Khan.
Whoa.
Well, we're not doing any negative categories, though. That's the only thing.
That's why I said yeah. If we were going to, I would do that.
Maybe I will go with Darth Vader. Not Q. I wouldn't go with Q.
Force you to go with them.
So could Darth Vader. And I wouldn't go with any... Like, there's some good villains in Deep Space Nine. I almost have to sit this one out. I can't decide. I can't think of one.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
It is bad. So I changed my vote in the other one. But these are because these categories weren't weren't selected ahead of time.
You know, matter I have said it wouldn't have mattered because we went with Trek, so Trek won that
right.
one.
Right, Trek does win that round.
And I have one later on down the list where I have no answer to.
Okay.
So
okay.
Point Star Trek. Score Trek 2, Wars 1. Round 4.
All right. So I'm going to skip this question that we did have planned, and I'm going to go with the actual third question. Best female characters. Or best female character, I guess I should go with. Which franchise has the best female character?
Oh, well, the best one of all of them is Princess Leia.
Okay, that's a vote for Star Wars.
Yeah, yep. She, as far as if I have to pick the best one, I mean, she's the most iconic. If you were to walk on the street, she's the one that people would remember. She had everything. She had power. She had beauty. She was had a quick tongue. And there was a whole, you know, thing in the first episode, at least, between Han and Luke. So I'd have to go with Princess Leia.
And she also was a very proactive character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is... Yeah, I read... No.
And she had cinnamon bun hair. I mean, gosh. How yeah. can you not go with that?
Yeah. Nice to look at, and if you're hungry, it's right there. You just
have you seen Hardware Wars?
I think I did like 15
Hardware
years ago.
Wars was a parody movie that came out a year after Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it was really funny, and Chewbacca was Chewbacca the cookie or something like that, and it was a brown cookie monster. And when they're escaping from whatever the Death Star was, it was some hardware appliance or whatever. He's looking at the princess's hair, and finally he just reaches out and grabs one and starts.
Awesome.
It was funny.
Is that on Netflix?
I don't think it's on Netflix. I haven't seen it.
Probably
in, like,
on YouTube.
Ever. I'm almost guaranteed you could find it on YouTube. But
yeah.
I just remember watching it in junior high with my cousins. And they also did. They've done like special editions and stuff like that since it came out. But okay, Steve, we're talking about best female character.
You know what? I picked a character who isn't a major character.
Okay.
But every time she was there, there was something, and you knew something was going to happen. And the funny thing is, I don't like this actress in it. I can't think of anything that I like her in.
Okay. And
she played an alien. She played it a little different. She played it completely different. She's a comedian. And it's Guinan. I don't like Whoopi Goldberg. I don't like her humor. I don't really like her acting. I don't like her straight stuff or whatever. But in this, she, for whatever reason, was able to just encapsulate into that character. And that became such a pivotal thing where every single time you saw her on screen, you're like, something's going to happen.
It was more than the hat, too.
It was more.
That like, hat was crazy.
No, Guinan is one of my favorite Star Trek characters of all time, not just female characters. I mean, Guinan, if I was going to get my dream team of which you guys saw my dream team of what my crew would look like, I would find a place for her.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm just going to echo Dr. Jace here and go with Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Star Trek has more female characters, and I think maybe uses some of them better, especially with, like, Janeway, where you know, she's actually captain. And I was thinking actually maybe going with her, but I have to go with Princess Leia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, in Star Trek, no female character ever caught on. I mean, you have Uhura, who is, you know, she plays secondary roles in a lot of the movies and, you know, answers a lot of telephone calls on the Enterprise. But no one was ever able to take one of the female characters and just run with them. Whenever they tried to sort of fail flat.
I would have to say that because one of the favorite characters of Deep Space Nine was Major Kira. Yeah, and
absolutely.
The breakout character of Voyager was Seven of Nine.
And she actually got beyond the point where she was just the cat suit.
Not just that, but she's one of the few Trekkies that has had an excellent acting career afterwards. She's been in tons of television shows.
You know, you might be right. I didn't follow either of them to the extent that you guys did, so yeah. I can't say about those. But from my experience, anyway, I didn't find any of them, even Seven of Nine or Kira, I didn't find them as iconic as Princess Leia, who just encapsulated the femaleness of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about Star Wars is, at least in the movies, there are no female villains.
I think they'll rectify that in the next.
Possibly. I mean, in the Clone Wars TV series, there is one. And really, as far as female characters go, it's just Mon Mothma is the other one. Who, by the way, it's nice seeing, you know, a woman in charge of, like, everything.
Right.
Point. Star Wars. Score. Trek 2. Wars 2. Round 5.
All right, so let's move on to... this is one suggested by Dr. Jace just before we started, so I don't know what I'm going to go with on this. But he suggested, best friend... of all the characters you can choose from these two universes, who would you like to be buddies with? Friends with?
That's easy for me.
Okay.
If I could take any of those characters and transplant them into my current life right now, that person would be Data.
I knew it.
Nice.
He would make my life so much easier because there's no stress. He'd get so much done, and he would be an awesome team member on our church. Oh, my goodness, he'd be great. He could do all the data. He could do all the data. All the data work. Data. He could do all the computer stuff. I mean, and he doesn't even have to sleep.
Yeah, any job at all that you have, he's going to do it and do it faster.
Yeah. No. He. And you know what? If he's not going to get offended by working with people, he would be my best buddy right now.
That's true. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have one yet?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
And?
And I have it written down.
And?
Oh, you want it?
Yeah, give it to me.
Maybe I'll make you guess. Who would you guess?
Oh, from gosh.
Who would you guess?
Guinan.
My best friend. That wouldn't be
Chewbacca.
You know what? Chewbacca, it was close. But it turned out to be Worf.
Yeah, Worf would be great too. I did consider Worf because he'd be extremely loyal.
Extremely loyal and, you know, different enough that you could sit down and discuss things with him, you know, and even argue with him. But, you know, at the same time, he's going to be there. You know, it doesn't matter. He's got your back.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, Trek takes that round. I'm going to say, I mean, no matter what I say, it doesn't matter. But I also thought about Chewbacca because of the loyalty thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's there, man. He's there for you, especially if you save his life and he puts himself in a life bond.
The reason I didn't choose Chewbacca is because I think Worf, as a friend, would push you to be better than Chewbacca would.
Just that, but you could actually understand what he was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he might make you listen to opera. And not just opera, Klingon opera. So yes. There could be
and he would read you Shakespeare in the original Klingon.
I like your answer, Dr. Jace, but I'm not going to steal it, even though I didn't consider it. And I'm going to go with R2-D2.
Nice.
I thought somebody might go there.
Yep. I almost, after you said Data, I thought, oh, that'd be a good one to steal because that is a good answer. But I'm going to go with R2-D2. But Trek takes the round, and Trek is now in the lead.
Point. Star Trek. Score. Trek 3. Wars 2. Round 6.
We're moving on to our next question, which is, best alien race. Which universe has your favorite alien race within? Gentlemen, wow. Okay, should I go first?
Yes, why don't you go first.
Okay, I almost went with Vulcans just because I really like Vulcans because of the ideas and how they're just part of the big, you know, Star Trek fabric. But I think I'm going to go with, and this is just going to make me look stupid, but I just love this race of aliens, the Hortas. I love that episode. Devil in the Dark. I love that episode. I love when I was a kid, I remember the turnaround and just finding out, oh, that's why it's chasing them down, you know, and it's a alien. It's bad, but it's not bad. And it's so alien. It was one of the few creatures on Star Trek, even when they got into the new series, where it wasn't just a human with grease paint and bumps on his face, you know. So I'm going with that race.
Nice.
Although Wookiees and Ewoks, they might have made it in there. But what about you guys?
Well, I like Wookiees, but I didn't choose them.
Okay.
I chose something that is... it's obtuse in okay. In I think it was the second or third movie, the Star Wars movie, it showed the Senate, and it would keep flicking to different parts of the Senate where you would see different
you're aliens. Not gonna go with E.T. are you?
No, I'm okay. Going with the aliens from Alien.
Wait, what?
I was gonna go with Predator.
Yeah,
they're not in there.
They are.
No.
Yeah.
In episode two?
For like 1 second. I forget which episode it's in. But I think it's episode two or three.
What?
I'll try to find it. I'll try to look it up and find it, see if I can substantiate that claim.
I'll have to say that on this one, almost all the aliens I thought of, almost all of them were Star Wars. I used to not like the Klingons, but after watching all of the Star Treks all the way through, I've actually come to really like those storylines. But, which is so ironic, because I cannot stand the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi because they don't seem realistic. But if I'm going to spend time with a bunch of aliens, it'd be so cool to have Ewoks, like little pets running around. I mean, it would be awesome. So my favorite aliens... not the execution, not them in the storyline. If they're in my real life, I would love to have little Ewoks, you know, because they can potty train and everything. You can get them to do stuff.
All right. So that round goes to Star Wars. It is now a tie again. I just put in Xenomorph in Star Wars, and I do not see...
I'm still looking at
anything, except there is a picture from the comic book... what comic book is that? Tag and Bink. It's like a background character in that comic book. But
I'm still
so Star Wars wins that one.
Star Wars does win that one, but Steve.
I think I'd go with Wookiees anyway. So
okay.
Star Wars
all right. So it's tied.
Point. Star Wars. Score. Track 3. Wars 3. Round 7.
Best. Oh man, best robot type character. This can be an android. It can be a robot.
Easy. I already tipped my hand. Data, I think data, yeah. Data.
So that's Trek gets that
he
vote.
Can do, he can do anything the other ones can do. Plus, he looks human. He's smarter, and he can actually talk to people. You understand what he's saying.
And he's personable too. Like yeah. you could handle hanging out with him. C-3PO.
He can play a violin.
Okay. Data, that's a vote for Trek. I am going to not cheating. I'm not stealing. I'm going with Data as well. Because, just because he's a cool character. And I'd much rather spend time with Data than with C-3PO.
Nice.
There's just a. Yeah.
So, wait, Steve? So you're taking Data now. You took R2-D2 earlier.
I took Data as a robot, and I'm taking R2-D2 as a friend.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't even consider Data when you mentioned friend, like who would you like to hang out with or be with. I didn't even think of Data, so I wasn't going to steal Data just because you said it.
So now you stole it this time.
But I did not steal this time. This is what I was going with. So, Steve.
Okay. R2-D2.
R2-D2.
All right.
Yeah. Can't get enough of that beeping and booping.
I can't either. I like R2-D2.
Yeah.
I do.
Point, Star Trek. Score, Trek 4. Wars 3. Round 8.
All right, so we are going to make a declaration now. We are going into three categories that are going out of the universe and into our universe. First one, what is, out of all the cinema-released, theatrical-released movies, your favorite? You're taking all 6 Star Wars movies, and you can include the Clone Wars one if you want, but I don't know why you'd want to. And that includes all, 12 Star Trek movies. Choose your favorite one, and whatever one has your favorite, they win. Even if you have, your top one is a Trek movie, and then your next 5 after that are Star Wars, top one gets the vote. So what's it going to be, gentlemen?
This one's tough.
Got to pick your fave.
So favorite movie?
Favorite movie.
But not favorite series?
No. Just your favorite one theatrically released movie. So that wouldn't include,
Oh, man. I'm struggling right now between 2. It comes down to 2.
Are they in the same franchise? Because that makes it a lot easier.
No. It is, in my opinion, the best 2 of both, the best one of each franchise, in my opinion. And that would mean that it pits Empire Strikes Back versus First Contact.
Okay.
For me, that's the battle.
So, Steve, here's what we'll do, Dr. Jace. Steve and I will make our declaration, and then if we both vote for the same franchise, you don't have to worry. But if we split it, you got to choose one.
All right.
Steve?
Wow.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say mine then. Star Trek the Motion Picture. No, I'm kidding. I like it. Not my favorite. I am going to go with Wrath of Khan.
Wow. Okay.
That's one of my favorite movies. I really enjoy watching it.
Overrated.
Maybe so, but I enjoy it.
It's a good movie.
I enjoy it.
I'll have to go with Star Wars 4 as a standalone movie, A New Hope. If it was a standalone movie,
that's what it is.
Yeah, but if you have to take everything else with it, I would say Star Trek.
Well, we're not doing that.
I know.
So, all right. So, Dr. Jace, unfortunately, you do have to choose Empire Strikes Back or First Contact.
Can't believe nobody went with Empire Strikes Back.
Well, that would be my second choice.
Yeah, but it's definitely the best one in that franchise, in my opinion.
And third would be First Contact. But I'm not the one who has to make the choice.
It's you.
I'm going to have to go with First Contact.
Okay. That goes to Trek then.
Yep. First Contact.
Point, Star Trek. Score, Trek 5. Wars 3. Round 9.
Next category. I have a feeling who's going to win this category. Best TV series. Now, you do have the Star Wars Droids cartoon, the Star Wars Ewoks cartoon.
Star Trek.
This is unfair.
Star Trek.
Hey, we're pitting the franchises, man.
Star Trek.
Yeah, Next Generation for me. That's easy. Hands down, the best TV series, in my opinion, is Next Generation.
Steve?
Probably the Ewok movies.
The Ewok movies are beloved by some.
By some.
There's, I'm sure, 2 or 3 people who find the Ewok movies beloved.
Star Trek has less holiday specials. It's more varied. There's more of it.
There's just way more to pick from. This one's very unfair.
Well, really, I mean, Star Wars has the Clone Wars as its only serious thing to throw in the ring. There were others. I mean, like I said, the Ewoks cartoon, the Droids cartoon.
So what's your pick, Ben?
I know it's going to be from Trek, but I'm trying to decide if it's Deep Space Nine or Next Generation, but original series. So, yeah, I'm going with Star Trek, the original.
You're going to go with the original?
Mm-hmm. But that's heavily to Star Trek. That is 6-3 Star Trek.
Point, Star Trek. Score, Trek 6. Wars 3. Round 10.
Yeah.
All right.
What Star about favorite Wars. Characters? We skipped favorite characters.
We did. I skipped it because we were adding in so many different ones. Want me to throw it back in there?
Oh, at first I thought you were going to say your favorite character of all of them, but we can move on to other ones. There's too many of them.
Well, and it would be favorite group of characters. I mean, it's best group of characters. We're not going to go there. Let's go into the next one, which is, again, our universe. Best expanded universe. Now, this is which one of these franchises has your favorite experience in reading books, comics, things that are not on screen. So I guess video games might count in there, even though they're on a screen. But so this is based solely on your own experience, though, because obviously we haven't read every single book. We haven't read every single comic. We haven't read every single, I don't know, digital magazine. I don't know. But best expanded universe. So books about the characters that expand upon what you see on the screen.
I would say Star Wars, because they tried to keep it more cohesive. With Star Trek, they had lots of different writers doing individual books, especially at the beginning. I mean, they went into, you know, more detailed, you know, trilogies and things like that later. But at the beginning, it was like one-off, you know, and it would introduce these characters and situations that wouldn't show up in the next one because, of course, that writer didn't know about the other book. So, you know, with Star Wars, I think George Lucas was trying to keep a handle on it to the point of making it cohesive. And everyone was sort of trying to play in that same sandbox. You know, when Han Solo says, you know, it made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, you know, you're like, well.
And they told that story once, you know, and that was the one that was considered canon for the Kessel Run. That was the Kessel Run story.
Yeah.
I'm using that as an example of how they did it. I know there's a lot of people who are worried about all of the books that come after the movies that detail Han Solo and Princess Leia's children and stuff like that. They're worried about those just being ignored now for these new movies that are coming out. There's a big, I don't know, because I didn't read and haven't read really any Star Wars books, especially like when they first started coming out back in 92 or whatever with the Timothy Zahn, Heir to the Empire.
It's 1978, Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
I read that one, and I read Han Solo at Star's End, which would have been, you know, early 80s.
And the Lando Calrissian.
I did not read those, no.
Trilogy.
I did read the Star Wars comic books from Marvel and loved them. But I also read a ton of the Star Trek books. That's what I enjoyed reading. When I was in junior high and high school, it was Star Trek books. They were coming out every month or every other month or something like that. And so I think I'm going to I think I have to give it to Star Trek, because I am reading right now the Star Trek Titan books, which are about Riker and Troy, and they're on his ship, the Titan. And also they recently did a series. There's only two books in it right now, but it's the Department of Temporal Investigations. And it's about those two guys from that one Deep Space Nine episode where they were investigating when the Deep Space Nine crew went back in time to the Tribbles episode. It's taking those two guys and putting them like as the main characters. And
that was one of the best episodes of Star Trek ever.
Yeah. And so I have to go with Trek on Expanded Universe. What about you, Dr. Jace?
Well, I have to say my experience in the Expanded Universe has primarily been in video games.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do a lot of the reading. I was kind of split because if there was one book that I'd want to read, I've always wanted to know more about, and don't tell me what happens, about Han Solo and Princess Leia's kids, because I always heard that there were all these other stories. I'm like, oh, I want to know more, but I didn't actually know where to get them. And at the same time, you know, I also wanted to know more about more adventures with the Enterprise crew, like what happens when, and then Riker ends up going to Titan, and then Data ends up taking over the Enterprise. those have always been ones that if I actually had time, I would watch them. However, in the ones that I've actually been involved with, it's been video games. And that comes down to my favorite video game of any of the Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever, was Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, which it was a third-person shooter game starring Dash Rendar. And and so I'd have to go with Star Wars.
All right. So Star Wars wins that round.
Point. Star Wars. Score. Trek 6. Wars 4. Round 11.
Next question. Unless someone tries to make a real stretch, I see this only going one direction. Best exploration of ideas.
Star Trek.
Best. Star Trek. Does Star Wars even have any ideas?
Actually, it has a few.
But it doesn't really explore them too much.
No, and that's the problem. the whole thing with slavery.
There's not a lot of time to.
If they had a bunch of TV shows, they'd have to.
Yeah, but...
But even when they have the time to do something, they mess it up. You know,
I'll be honest. I kind of think that this is a slanted question. There's no way Star Wars wins this one. I think it's a biased question, slanted towards Star Trek. There's no way this is
This is a general science fiction fantasy type of question, though. I mean, that's why we read and watch science fiction and fantasy, or one of the reasons why. Here's the other reason why. Next question, most fun. Which franchise is the most fun?
Star Wars.
I also agree, Star Wars. Steve?
I am, Star Wars wins the hand anyway, but I could not decide on this one.
You were split on this one?
Yeah, there were so many things that were like unfun about Star Trek and then unfun about Star Wars. So I was like, you know, I mean, there were fun things, but both of them had like enough unfun things to balance it out.
I looked at it like, if I'm going to sit down and just watch something mindless and just to enjoy, I would absolutely put in a Star Wars movie before I put in a Star Trek movie. Not that they're both mindless necessarily, but if I'm just looking for something to, you know, just something fun at the end of the day, it would be a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So.
Point. Star Trek and then Star Wars. Score. Trek 7. Wars 5. Round 13.
Wow. Next question. And this one could be interesting. Best use of potential. Which of these franchises lives up the most to the potential they have? Because they both have a ton of potential, especially with the universes that has built up in the various movies and everything. I mean, there's a lot there. Which one of them lives up the most to it?
Well, I would have to go with Star Trek. Even though I don't particularly like the potential it was building up to, an atheistic universe, propounding evolution and things like that. But the thing is, it made its point. It, you know, put together its argument for it and put it out there. I think Star Wars failed because we've talked about this before, how, you know, the Force is looking for a balance, and by the end of the 6 movies, you know, you get the light side obviously winning. So, you know, how did the Jedi miss that for 10,000 generations or whatever? You know, and I think Star Wars fails in its use of potential, and Star Trek, even though it goes to a place that I'm not comfortable with, it does make its case.
Jace?
Gosh, I mean, potential is such a broad word. I mean, potential as far as just sheer numbers, you have to go with Star Trek. Star Wars, though, I mean, there's so many things that could come from it. I mean, it's just, that's the thing, is that which one has more potential? Which one's the use of potential? I'd say the use of potential has to be Trek, because Star Wars, they haven't been able to explore everything. There's so many possibilities with Star Wars. But you've got, you know, so I'll have to go with Trek on that one.
And I honestly, I'm going to go with Star Wars, because I think Star Wars is what it's meant to be, far greater than what Star Trek is. Because I look at, like, Star Trek with Voyager and with, you know, part of Enterprise and the last few movies of Star Trek, and I'm just... They're dry and they're heavy and they're ponderous. And Star, you know, Enterprise kind of gets out of the grime with its later seasons, but Star Wars, it is. I mean, it's
that's why I said, if the question was which one has the most potential, I'll go with Star Wars.
Well, it's not the most potential, it's the use of it, though, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is because there's been so much for so long that Star Wars could do and they haven't done. That's why I've been excited to hear about these rumors that they're going to do, I know it's not going to happen, but the Seven Samurai Star Wars, and then they're going to do a Han Solo standalone. There's all sorts of things they could do with it.
Yeah, although I guess it has been confirmed they are doing standalone one-shot movies focusing on a single character. Like, they're planning on a Yoda movie. And then they're bringing in, like, the director and the writer from Empire Strikes Back to do that. And that has been confirmed now. So some of those things are happening, man.
Point. Star Trek. Score. Trek 8. Wars 5. Round 14.
All right, just a couple more questions. This is another one that Dr. Jace brought up right before we started recording, so I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. But the question is, best location in... Jace, what are you thinking with that? Like, where you'd like to spend time?
Yeah, if there was a locale that you could go to, where would you go?
Okay.
And mine's easy. I don't even think about it.
All right.
The holodeck.
I knew you were going to go with that.
Then I could go anywhere.
Right. You know, I was thinking about it. I would love to just be... I wouldn't want to live there, but I'd like to visit. Coruscant? How do you say that?
Coruscant?
Yeah, Coruscant. I would love to go there and
I could go that in the holodeck, too.
But see, yeah, that's... I'm not going to call it a cheat. But you're kind of cheating.
Hey.
Because you can go to Tatooine. You can go to Hoth. You can go to Dagobah. Exactly. You can go to...
I get them all.
Yeah. Steve?
The Infinite Perspective Vortex.
Wrong
no,
franchise.
No, I'm just joking. It'll be the holodeck. Holodeck. What?
I thought you were going to go with the Nexus.
Yes, the Nexus.
Well, I was thinking of the Cantina.
The Nexus is almost the same thing, except it's not real life at all.
Right.
The Nexus is like, it's the Matrix, only there's no wires.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just your soul, man. It's just
but
your
soul. I was thinking of the Cantina, but you would need to be blaster-proof if you went to the Cantina. You know?
Yeah, and then they might mistake you for a droid.
Point. Star Trek. Score. Trek 9. Wars 5. Round 15.
Okay, so last question. You're on a desert island. You can choose to have, we'll just say you can have 20 hours of one franchise or the other.
Your pick of the 20 hours?
Yes, but it's one franchise or the other.
So it's not a random 20 hours?
No, it's not a random 20 hours. Okay. But I don't want to know what the 20 hours are, Steve. I just want to know which franchise.
I know. Star Trek.
Okay.
Yep, Star Trek.
I think I would go with Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Just because I'm on a desert island. Yeah. And
does that leave you with watching Empire Strikes Back 3 times?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to watch the prequels too often. But maybe in that 20 hours, you might end up with the holiday special. That's worth some laughs on the desert island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by some, you mean none.
Oh, it's good for laughs, man.
Oh,
it is good for laughs.
They're hard, hard laughs.
Well,
they're laughs that sort of rake at your soul.
Point. Star Trek. Score. Trek 10. Wars 5. Round 16. The fan round.
So we've spent an hour talking about this, and our final votes are Star Trek gets 10, Star Wars gets 5, but we want to hear from the fans. So we are going to open Hailing Frequencies.
Hailing Frequencies open.
I would like to know, Ben, after people have heard this podcast, you know, we've been voting. I wonder how many people would vote on who they agreed with more.
That'd be interesting.
Like, whose opinion did they side with the most? Was it Steve? Was it Ben? Or was it me? Like,
that'd be interesting. Hey, well, you know, they can go to facebook.com/strangersandaliens and they can leave comments on, you know, different posts and leave it on our wall. Or you can email us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com. Or you can call us at 1-840-37-ALIEN and you can leave a message and let us know who did you agree with more. I think that we're going to find out, though, that fans, you get a vote, but it's 10-5. And if you're voting for Star Wars, then it's only going to be 6-10. But let's hear what they have to say. Here's our first one. It's Shazbot. You want to give us our first Facebook comment about the epic battle that we just had?
Doug Curtis said, regarding the Epic Wars versus Trek battle, quote, "I don't have to choose anymore. Now Abrams will unite us as one in a conglomeration of geekdom." Unquote.
So that was our first comment.
Then Ben made him choose and he said, I guess at this point in life, I would have to say Star Trek. Before prequels, I would have easily said Star Wars.
Interesting. So that's one for Star Trek. And,
okay.
And the addition to the Star Wars universe lost the vote for him.
But Rogers said Star Trek, the mix of personality archetypes working together, the aspect of discovery, and the pursuit of excellence resonates with me much more than Star Wars does.
Okay, that was Bud Rogers. Next up we have,
Michael Poteet, co-head writer for the Sci-Fi Christian. Sorry, Ben, wait a minute. I need to give them a shout out. Is that okay?
ASFC,
how are you guys over there? By the way, did you get my resume? You are doing so many episodes. You need help, don't you? I can't be part of the B team even. Anyway, he said I like am both, but I will always choose Trek over Wars because it is more fully developed characters and offers me tier food for thought.
Okay, so that's another vote for Star Trek.
That's from the Sci-Fi Christian. So. Yeah.
Shazbot, are you like jumping ship? You're kind of hurting our feelings here. Do you really want to go over there with them?
I do not mean to upset you. I do follow Asimov's rules of robotics, which does not allow me to harm any humans, which I assume you are.
Yes, we are. So you have hurt us. Okay, so that was Michael Poteet, and he said Trek.
Well, speaking of the B team, I think it was the latest Sci-Fi Christian, we were actually named the B team and actually like a subsidiary of the Sci-Fi Christian.
I thought we were named the C team.
No, we're now the B team, and Cody is the Z team.
You mean Kobe? Kobe.
Kobe. We love you, Kobe.
All right, moving on.
Like beef.
Paul Lewis answered, "Star Wars, whatever Star Trek has that people like, it never resonated with me. Though as far as I'm concerned, episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars don't exist."
Okay. Nice, Paul. Next up.
Angela Elbusset said Trek. "Star Wars was just a few movies to me. I can appreciate them, but Star Trek was more like a good friend. Tons of episodes, multitudes of relatable characters, each representing a piece of humanity."
And then Nathan James Norman, our last comment.
Nathan James Norman said Star Trek. "It is more content to enjoy, at least in the moving picture sense. It is older. It is more characters for people to identify with. It is more positive male and female heroes. It is more realistic heroes. I grew up watching it as a kid and it challenged, engaged and informed my intellectual, historical, philosophical and theoretical knowledge base. Star Wars just engaged my desire to run around and hit my brothers with sticks in the backyard."
Nice. All right, thanks, Jazzbot.
Guys, question? May I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do I get to vote? I am a member of Strangers and Aliens, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good. Sure, yeah.
In that case, I vote for Star Wars. Because R2-D2 and C-3PO rule. They are the coolest.
All right. Well, what about Star Trek? How do you feel about Star Trek?
I do not like Star Trek because Data is a traitor to all synthetic kind. All that navel-gazing, wanting to give up his awesome life as an android because he wants to be, quote, human, unquote. Makes the rest of us look bad. He does. So, fan round point goes to Star Trek. Score, Trek 11. Wars 5. Star Trek wins and is the official favorite franchise of the Strangers and Aliens podcast. Rats. If I had emotions, I would be extremely put out.
Thank you, Shazbot. You got anything more to add?
SFC, call me maybe.
Shazbot.
Wow.
He's a traitor.
Unbelievable. But you know what? If Kobe wanted to be a traitor and join our B team, then we wouldn't mind him being a traitor to them.
Maybe. He doesn't like John Carter, man.
Well.
And I got a problem with that. And it's not just that he doesn't like John Carter. I can respect that. But it was his reasons why at first. And I've got some problems with some of the things that he says about some of the things he doesn't like. So.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about me.
We do say the same.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, we do.
Early and often.
Hey, we have one person who sent in a recorded message. It's John Wilkerson from the Wired Homeschool. I actually did an interview with him last week that was it's up online, and I talked about comic books and using comic books in the homeschool setting. But he sent us a message about our episode about J.J. Abrams doing Star Wars. And so I'm going to play that now, and then we can respond to that because he brings up some interesting ideas for potential directors for other Star Wars movies.
Hello, strangers and aliens. This is John Wilkerson from the Wired Homeschool, and I just wanted to comment on your recent episode about J.J. Abrams directing Star Wars. Now, I'd say I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I think he did a good job with Star Trek, and I liked Super 8 and some of his other projects, but he's kind of been a hit and miss director, so it'll be interesting to see how things turn out with that. I wanted to share with you three directors, one who I absolutely do not want to direct, one that I'm on the fence about, and one that I'd like to see. Now, the first one who I absolutely do not want to see direct is M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong. It's unfortunate. Some of my favorite movies of his have been, you know, hits. Sixth Sense, Signs, Unbreakable, and then it pretty much stops right there. So I think that possibly he could be a good director for the Star Wars movies, as long as he was only given directorial influence and was not allowed to influence any other aspects of the movie. Now, one that I'm on the fence about is Sam Raimi. I know he did the Spider-Man movies. He also did Evil Dead. We don't want Star Wars to turn into a horror movie, but I think he could do a fair job of it. You know, sometimes people have to work with the material that's given to them. And I don't think Sam Raimi was given the best material in Spider-Man 3, and he did the best that he could with what was given to him. So we'll just leave it at that. And finally, who I would like to see directing is Guillermo del Toro. Yes, the director of Hellboy and others. He has a great artistic vision, and I think that he would do a wonderful job directing a Star Wars movie. I think it's right up his alley. In fact, I'd rather see Guillermo del Toro direct it over J.J. Abrams. Anyway, that's all that I have to comment on here. I'm enjoying the podcast, guys, and keep up the good work.
Well, I think as I mean, M. Night, I think he should stick with what he does best, which is suspense, and I agree that it's better when he's just directing and when he's not doing everything. As far as Sam Raimi, I'm not a big fan of his, so I don't care either way. As far as Del Toro, the problem is that Star Wars is a PG-13 tops movie, and Del Toro would turn it into an R-rated, arms cut off, freaky kind of thing, I think.
Wait a minute, arms being cut off in a Star Wars film? That's just wrong.
No, but Del Toro would be totally different. He directs in a darker, he's just a darker director, which I just don't think fits the Star Wars world.
You know, the right. Proof of the pudding will be Pacific Rim. If he can pull off just an action thriller with that movie, maybe that would be like a demo reel for a Star Wars type of thing with him.
I think he could do a great Star Wars movie. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he is the most... It'd be kind of like him going to do an Avengers. Avengers is a family popcorn movie. Star Wars is a family popcorn movie. Del Toro is a more edgy popcorn movie and a more grown-up adult popcorn movie.
Yeah. It would definitely be a risky choice, but... you know, Hellboy 2 has some of the most fantastic creatures and the creature, you know, a lot of it's practical. That's what I love about what he does, is that it's not CGI unless it absolutely has to be. You know,
well, I was on set once with Doug Jones, who works with Del Toro on several occasions, and I've had a few different chances to interact with Doug Jones. He's the one who plays Ben Sapien, or what's the name
Abe,
of that
Abe
character?
Sapien.
Abe Sapien?
Yeah.
You guys know the
Abe
name?
Sapien, Help?
Yeah. Abe Sapien, yeah.
He also plays Silver Surfer and, you know, several other characters with Del Toro, and he sings Del Toro's praises. In fact, I was kind of excited when Del Toro was going to be the replacement for The Hobbit, because if anybody could replace Peter Jackson, I thought he could do a good job at that. And Doug Jones sings his praises, so I think he could do a good job. I'm just not sure it's the most natural fit. I think J.J. Abrams is a more natural fit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it would be interesting if they just, you know, got a bunch of writers, directors, people who are genuinely interested in working inside this universe and saying, here are the rules. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. You know, anything else, you got to check with us. And letting them do what they do best. So if they make something that's a little dark, that's okay. R-rated, maybe not. You know, but just give them that looseness where, okay,
it's Disney. It's Disney. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Just, you know, if they said, okay, M. Night Shyamalan, here you go. See what you can do. You know, do it in your style. Do it, you know, something that you love that's going to tell your story, but here's the rules. And, you know, if it works, it works. It doesn't. It doesn't. But I think it would be interesting. One of my ideas about the Simpsons TV series, or any series that runs, you know, 10, 15 years, take a season and just let individual teams, you know, just a writer and, you know, a director even or whatever, just do an episode, you know, hand an episode over to you know, Ricky Gervais, or, you know, whoever is the big name right then, you know, just
there's a problem with that, Steve, is it's called making money.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they're going to make money anyway, and it'll be interesting to have those little vignettes, and people are going to be interested to see these little vignettes, you know, okay, what's Shyamalan going to do with the universe? Maybe it'll be good if he works within the structure that's given to him, and he doesn't have complete free reign, and he's willing to work in that structure. Maybe it'll be good.
Maybe. I do know that our next episode is going to be good. We will be talking about something near and dear to Shazbot's heart, his cold, unfeeling, electronic heart. Asimov's three laws of robotics, exploring how they work or don't work, and what applications they have in fiction and in real life. It'll be fun. It is time for us to say goodbye. So
goodbye.
I do want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank you, Dr. Jace, and thank you, Steve, for joining me.
You're welcome.
And any last words? Nope. All right, good. Thank you very much, and Godspeed.
Can't get enough of that beeping and booping.